Previously on Adventure.
All the Hydra heads have now woken, and they all hiss in unison at Redfield, who has awoken them from a very, very peaceful slumber. But there's a vent behind the Hydra that you can't get to without getting past it.
11 plus 4, 15.
That's a hit.
Slash, 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 slash.
Sectum Sempra.
Sectum Sempra, that is exactly what it is.
Slowly, you're just seeing its green, scaly skin just become redder and redder as all these cuts appear, and basically just becomes a mass of blood and falls to the floor limp, dead. Hydra was
in front of a vent.
And then you can hear,
"Oi! Come on in here!"
You've all gone through the vent, and now you're all standing outside in the snow?
Yep.
You can see that there's a town not too far away from you. You can hear music and dancing, and then you hear a voice.
"Hey guys, what took you so long?"
So it is the snowy outside of Neverwinter, where Stewie is standing there looking at Thrace, Julian, Redfield, and Henley. And he says to Henley,
"Hey guys, I need your help."
"Well, hello there, stranger."
"I'm sorry, I said you guys, but I just met him."
What, you mean me?
"Yes."
"All right, you need me to go on whatever little mission you got going on and abandon my friends who I haven't seen in forever just because you say you need me?"
"That's right, there's going to be ale."
"I'll be there. All right, let's go."
"Oh, well, it was nice to see you again, Henley."
"Yeah, bye."
"Bye."
And Henley walks away without saying goodbye to the people who just revived him. And he and Stewie walk into the moonlight.
What a putt.
"Redfield, we told you, right? We warned you what he was like."
"Yeah, he's an asshole."
"I heard that."
"That you acknowledge?"
Redfield jumps on his broom, flies up right in front of Henley's face, and says, "You're an asshole!" And then flies back.
And then pulls out the bell from his dick and goes, "Ding, ding, ding!"
Winner.
So just like that, it appears that Thrace, Redfield, and Julian are all safe and sound, unharmed, in Neverwinter, and there couldn't be a better time to level up.
Woohoo! At last.
At bloody last. Yes. So
we've only been doing this for 75 years.
True. So you've all leveled up to level 11. Okay. All your health is restored.
Ooh, I could use that. I was down to 14.
Yeah, you weren't doing great, Bob. Yeah. Well, we would have called this a long rest anyway. But your experience points are up to 85,000. Most notably, I think, is that you can increase any two ability scores by one or one score by two, so you can make those choices now.
So, like, if I want to make my strength 19, I can do that. It's at 18 right now.
Yes.
Or I could make it 20.
You can make it 20 and then you're done.
Okay, but...
I would take a look at intelligence.
Is it intelligence or wisdom? Is that your problem? I don't remember what the...
Wisdom is my problem. Problem. It's definitely an issue.
Is it an 8?
I'd say it's more of a person... It is an 8.
Yeah. Nice.
With a minus 1 modifier.
Oh, God!
But it's more of a personality trait at this point, you know?
Sure.
I still feel like, haha, you can't hit me, even though I'm looking at my own butt. You know, it's still...
You looking at your own butt?
Like, yeah. I'm not very smart, but I have a lot of wisdom. A lot of strength, rather.
Well, there's a spell I haven't tried. Speak with plant.
That's a great one. I like that.
Because somebody is going to write something where I have to talk to plant.
So, yeah. So, Bob, roll a d6.
I'll find it.
Bob, what level did you say your guy is at right now?
11.
11. Did it say 10 before this?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
1.
Add your constitution modifier.
0.
Okay, so you add...
Plus 0.
So you add 1 to your hit points.
That's 43.
So I just...
Roll 1d10. 10,
and then add your constitution modifier to it.
4.
And
2. So 6.
Yeah. So add 6 to your total hit points.
That's what you needed.
Yep, 61.
So the app does it automatically for me.
Oh, okay.
I got 5 extra hit points.
Nice.
I'm up to 58 now.
Not too shabby.
No.
Julian's still the weak link, getting murdered left and right. Maybe it'll happen today. Who knows?
I'm sure it will. He'll pee in the corner as usual.
And I got nothing else. What ability scores are you guys amping up?
I am amping up Constitution and Wisdom.
Okay.
Both of which need a little bit of a jump.
What does that put you at for each? Like, big number?
Constitution would put me at 15, Wisdom at 9.
Jeez, Jake. You might just want to leave the Wisdom behind.
I added to Constitution 2, figuring.
Okay.
So that puts me at 13.
Okay.
So there's, Bobby? The changes. So at my choice, I can either pick ability score ups, or I can do what they call a feat. Mm-hmm. Like between Grappler and...
Grappler sounds very interesting.
Sviver Neblin Magic.
What now?
Sviriflnebln Magic.
Wow.
For our Scandinavian friends, maybe be able to tell me how to pronounce that correctly. So you have inherited the innate spellcasting ability of your ancestors. This allows you to cast non-detection on yourself at will without needing a material component. You can also cast each of the following spells once with this ability: blindness, deafness, blur, and disguise self. You regain the ability to cast these spells when you finish a long rest. Intelligence is your spellcasting ability for these spells, and you cast them at their lowest possible levels.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that. And I increased my hit points, or now at 63.
Okay. Oh, you're the same as Thrace, I think. How does everyone feel?
Healthier.
All right. So the three of you have now leveled up and feel great, raring to go in this nice, snowy, neverwinter evening.
Can I set fire to Hindley, just for fun?
He's gone.
He's gone.
That's all right. I can find him.
30 feet, dude.
Okay.
No.
It's cold out here, guys. Can we go somewhere else?
Sure can. What do you want to do?
Can we see anything?
Yeah, can we see anything?
Yeah. It is...
Are we actually in the city?
You are in the city.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking we're standing on a big snowy hill looking at the city.
No.
Oh, okay.
You are... Again.
So this weird cube room was in Neverwinter.
It let you out right... it's kind of underground.
Okay, so we popped up into Neverwinter.
Yes.
Okay.
So when we look back, is it still there?
There's no building there. You came out of the ground.
So if I look down to the ground, is there a hole in the ground?
Yes.
Back into this room.
All right, guys.
It's a literal version of hell.
So what do we do now? Do we go find Hendley and Stewie? What are they doing?
We don't have a lot of context clues for direction to go the story right now.
Should we just go have a drink?
Let's just
have a
drink.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, we're just going to go to the closest tavern.
Okay.
So you start walking on the main road.
Yep.
And are heading towards the tavern, and there is about 15, 20 feet before the entrance to that bar, there's a body on the ground. And it looks like a goblin.
Oh. All right, guys, don't trip.
No.
Don't trip, or we'll never get to the tavern in time for a beer.
So you're stepping over this body.
Yeah, just go. Let's just go.
I'm gonna step over the body.
The only good goblin's a dead goblin, right? Nothing, that's what I'm saying.
Nothing to see here.
Paraphrasing Teddy Roosevelt is terrible. Don't do that. So you're walking over the body.
Yes.
And you're going into the bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Right. It is loud and rambunctious. There are probably... It's a goblin bar.
So I stick out pretty bad.
You do. It's like when you're in Manhattan and there's just randomly a 49ers bar. It's that. There's
goblin jerseys on the wall.
Exactly.
It's very loud. There's a piano player just kind of bang, bang, bang on the keys, and people are drunkenly singing along in the corner. And the line at the bar is pretty long.
Okay.
You'd say probably about 100, 125 goblins in this place that is not very big.
Guys, it might be tough getting a drink here.
Yeah. I tap the last goblin in line on the shoulder.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a dead one of you guys right outside the bar.
What do you mean, one of you guys?
The goblin.
What do you want being a goblin?
I didn't say there's anything wrong with being a goblin.
You said one of me guys.
Yeah, one of you guys. I'm not a goblin, but you're a goblin.
Okay, what about?
There's a dead goblin outside the bar.
Oh, you just sleep it off.
It doesn't look that way.
No, we're pretty sure he's dead.
I think he's dead.
LSU Phil? You got that one, fella?
Phil. His name is Phil, you think?
You ask me if it was Phil?
Is his name Phil?
Yeah, well, we don't know where Phil is.
Is his head normally that way around? Go have a look.
Oh, what?
Go have a look at the body outside.
Oh, no, I'm in the queue.
We'll hold your place, don't worry.
Yeah.
Why are you going from talking like Rocky to talking in a British accent?
He's sobering up.
Wait, can you go to jail? Jail, reveal me.
I really don't understand. All right,
So listen, way up, guys. And at this point, I turn around, I walk out the bar, and I go, and I pick the goblin up by his little foot. And I bring him in, like, and I hold him in the air and go, does anybody recognize this goblin?
Does he belong to you?
And a weird, oh God, this editing thing, Justin, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Resounding chorus of, Phil! Happens.
Okay, guys, Phil is not okay right now.
And his head is turned the opposite way.
Right, so I'm going to, like, just twist him around by the ankle so everyone can see the face, yet looking at the back of the goblin.
Everyone, Phil is dead.
Bartering.
All right, I'm going to barge through this crowd of weird little goblins, and I'm just going to lay him down on the bar.
Get us a drink while you're there.
Okay.
I'll have a drink, please, for me and my friends, while you figure out why there's a dead goblin outside.
Just, thank you.
Did you just throw him down the bar?
No, I just, like, you know, put him down, like a pile.
Slump.
Now, excuse me, lady. We can't have you just putting dead goblins on this bar.
Well, where would you like me to put him?
Back outside where I left him.
Oh. Okay. At which point, I pick him back up again, and I take him outside, and I...
Wait. When did he die?
Oh, he's been here for days.
Days? No wonder it smells so bad.
Well, that spell is not going to work.
You're going to bring him back?
I'm going to need some Purell over here.
I'm still looking.
Yeah, I left him out there probably Saturday, Friday, something like that.
This Saturday or Friday?
Yeah.
All right, bring him over here.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to pick him up and bring him to the back of the queue where Redfield was waiting patiently for a drink.
I said queue for you, by the way.
And
I'm going to...
I'm going to put him on the floor.
Okay, I'm going to cast Raise Dead.
Okay. Tell me about it.
You return a dead creature you touch to life, provided that it has been dead no longer than 10 days. If the creature's soul is both willing and at liberty to rejoin the body, the creature returns to life with one hit point. The spell also neutralizes any poisons and cures non-magical diseases that affected the creature at the time it died. Spell doesn't, however, remove magical diseases, curses, or similar effects. These are first removed prior to casting the spell. This spell closes all mortal wounds, but doesn't restore missing body parts. If the creature is lacking body parts or organs internal for its survival, it's... its head, for instance.
The head is attached. It's around the wrong way, but it is attached.
The target takes a -4 penalty to all attack rolls. So if it tries to attack as it brings up to life... No problem. So I
have a fucking pushing daisies.
Yeah, I do. So I just tickle a drag in my cigarette and go, watch this, and touch him.
Do you have your Phil voice ready, Brian?
He wasn't planning on having a Phil voice because
he
didn't
around backwards voice.
He didn't at any point think that this dead body was going to be a character.
Yeah. So I'm picturing he's on the bar. He's still on the bar?
No, I put him on the floor by Redfield.
On the floor. Mm-hmm. So his head is around the wrong way.
Yes.
We're looking at butt and head, and Phil's eyes open, and he goes, what happened?
I think you're dead.
Sorry
about
that.
No, I feel okay.
Oh, you were dead.
I feel okay, though.
I brought you back to life.
But
what happened? What's the last thing you remember?
I was getting stabbed.
Ooh.
By who?
I don't know. He came from behind me.
Well, how you are now or behind how you were then?
Oh, that's
sorry
not
about
my,
that.
Oh, that's not my front. That's my back. And he looks down, looks at his butt. His things are very wrong.
Thrace, do you have my drink?
Yes. And I run up to the bar and I grab one really quickly from the bar.
Oh, because Thrace forgot to get it.
No, yeah, I'm just going to lean over, grab a glass, lean over, quickly pour it out of the tap and run back to Redfield. Right. There you go.
All right. Thank you. Here, this is something for your troubles.
Thank you. And he starts drinking it, and he starts to drink, and the drink starts pouring out of the hole in his back, and suddenly it stops because it starts to heal up. And he notices that he starts to feel a little bit better. Except his head is 180 degrees in the wrong way.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. When the spell gets to your neck to fix you, it's not going to be a pleasant experience. So you might want to drink all of that before
well,
it
you
happens.
Can, yeah.
So he arches his neck back, which is
forwards.
Towards his front. Yeah, and drinks the whole drink. Yeah, I was being stabbed, and then someone just twisted my neck around, and that was the last thing I remember.
But you didn't see anyone?
No, I was turned around.
Do you recognize this bartender over here? Because he said he left you outside dead.
Oh, that's Jeff.
Do you like Jeff?
He's not great.
Okay, did Jeff kill you?
No, Jeff was in here. I stepped outside to call my mom.
Okay.
How do you spell Jeff, by the way?
It's G-E-O-F-F.
And since we're in Neverwinter, does that mean you stood outside the bar and went, Mom!
Yeah.
Or did you call her on
No, she was...
How did you call her?
I thought she was out getting food. And she was coming back here, so I went, Ma! Oh,
you did.
Ma!
Okay. And at that point, someone...
Ma!
All right, Phil, calm down.
Also, can I ask you a question? How old are you? Because you sound like you're an 8-year-old boy.
In the bar.
It is a goblin bar.
It is a goblin bar, yeah.
I am 14.
What's the legal drinking age in Neverwinter?
4.
Oh, okay.
For goblins.
For goblins, yeah.
Goblins. What was your name again?
It's Phil.
Phil.
You have a last name, Phil?
Philson.
Phil Philson.
Okay.
You were stabbed. Do you have any enemies, Phil?
I'm a goblin, so, mostly everyone.
Any goblin enemies?
I owe a little bit money.
To who?
His name is,
We're in big uncharted territory here, because yeah. Brian had no designs on having...
bring yeah. Phil back to life.
Like, Phil is all of a sudden a whole new character with a backstory. Yeah.
Phil's got debts.
Only laughing is the first name that came to mind was
Philson.
Bookerson.
Bookie Bookerson?
Bookie Bookerson.
I have to say it without laughing. It's Bookie Bookerson.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sensing
very
the
literal with your names. Okay. How much money do you owe Bookie?
Well, I bet 10 the day before and then 10 the day after. It's 400,000.
Okay. All right, this could be an issue here for you, Phil.
Those are gold pieces, and I paid him a little. Actually, no, I paid him a little. I owe him 399,990
gold pieces.
I'm just going to leave it in my notepad as 400,000.
Okay.
What were you betting on at this level?
You wouldn't understand. You're not a goblin.
On the plus side, I'm going to let you know that it's probably not going to be an issue for you for very long. So, you know, don't sweat it right now.
Oh. You mean Bookie is going to forgive my debt?
I'm sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Anybody else?
My mom. My mom doesn't like me very much.
Okay, your mom. Here's what I think.
Yes.
I think this guy is our best witness to what happened. And I think we should tie him up.
Uh-huh.
On your back.
Okay, strap
and
him
take
on.
Him with us.
Okay, yeah. I think that's a great idea.
I think we really need to get into this Phil character. We need to dig into his life.
I feel like it too. Yeah, I feel like we need to go find where his house is, where his relatives live, where he worked.
His known acquaintances.
His all known acquaintances. Really need to dig into Phil.
I can't
where
tell
he went
you.
To school.
I can't tell you how long Bobby has been waiting for this moment. Every stupid Hendley thing that ever happened in season one, Bobby's been waiting for this moment.
For those listening at home, I've closed my laptop because nothing matters.
How long is this spell of yours going to last?
Forever. He's alive now.
Oh, good.
He's alive now. Sorry. Using my...
But we can't use him as a goblin shield because he doesn't have any hit points, right?
He has one hit point.
Oh, yes.
Just in case. It's something to think about.
Might be good for you.
Is there anything preventing you from, if he were to die, bring him back again?
No.
You just keep doing it.
I think we might.
All right.
So Phil Philson.
Phil Philson.
We're gonna tie him up. And
hey guys, what are you doing?
We're tying you up.
Why? I'll go wherever you want me to go.
Yeah, but you can't really like walk or anything right now.
Yeah, because literally, you stub yourself on the step, it's not gonna be good for you.
Yeah,
your head's just gonna fall right off.
Yeah. So we're gonna put you on my back because I'm strong and I'll look after you. Okay.
Ah!
What's that neck thing?
Relax,
the neck
Phil.
Thing! The neck thing's happening!
It's gonna get worse before it gets better, just so you know.
And I'm confused as to which way I strap him on my back now.
Upside down, I would think.
And this is the point where I need Justin to do the world's best neck crack.
The Wolverine thing, right?
And now he's right side up, looking the right way. Still a little peaking.
A little traumatized.
Yeah. But.
I know a great chiropractor back in Arkham, Massachusetts, if you're ever over that way.
All right, let's go. Yes, on your back.
Right, so he's on my back.
Facing backwards?
Downwards. He's facing the right way now.
Yes.
Right, I'm saying, but do we want to face him?
Yeah, because I don't really want him breathing
like
down
head
my
on
neck.
Your shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you've been dead for a while, God knows what that breath is like. So let's point him backwards. Yeah.
So, he's been dead for a couple of days.
Right,
a couple of days.
Stinky. So he's pointing backwards.
Let's ask
Jeff?
The bartender, Jeff.
Jeff. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's walk back in the bar.
Yeah. We're already in the bar, are we?
Oh, I thought we were back outside. We're in the bar. Let's walk up to the bar.
This entire exchange has taken place in front of 100 yeah. goblins right. who have right. watched this guy Lazarus himself.
Not going to mess with me now, are you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're going
to
walk up.
I'll kill you and bring you back to life.
So we're going to walk up to the bar, and I'm going to just turn around and just shimmy a little and be like, recognize Phil? Phil, say hello to Jeff again.
Hey, Jeff. What? Can you tell me what happened to me? I don't remember a whole lot.
Well, what's going on here? I thought you were dead.
I brought him back.
How? I really miss my Aunt Susan. Can you do that for her?
How long has she been dead?
18 years?
Nope.
Move along, Jeff. Move along,
okay.
Jeff.
Okay.
Stick to the point.
Listen, I'm not like it's,
well,
like,
it's 17 and change.
It's not an act, all right? I'm not just do it willy nilly.
No.
I don't know. I came into work and you were dead on the ground. What am I supposed to do about you?
When did you come into work? In the morning?
In the morning. It was Saturday morning.
Okay.
And you just left him there? I'd like to also point out every time I speak to Jeff, I turn around. So I'm looking at Jeff, then when I'm not, I turn back so Phil can see him.
Yeah.
All right, so we're doing.
We need that sound effect, yeah.
So I'm going to say, Jeff, you just left him on the ground, and I'll flip around.
I had to get to work, and I you were blocking the way, so I just kind of stepped over you.
Well, we kind of did that, too.
We did that, too.
To be fair,
the only good goblin's a dead goblin, huh, Jeff?
Ain't that the truth?
Oh my God, Redfield, please.
That's fine. I don't know where you're mad. Do you know Bookie?
Oh, Bookie Wilkerson.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in here all the time.
Is he in here now?
No, he left a couple hours ago.
So apparently, Phil owes him $400,000.
It's 400,000 gold pieces.
Gold pieces, whatever.
Actually, no, it's 399,990.
All right, okay. Stick to the point, Jeff. Stick to the point.
Round it up, okay?
I watched the transaction. I was watching.
Do you think Bookie would have killed Phil?
Oh, definitely not.
Why definitely not?
You can't get your money from a dead man.
But if he wouldn't pay...
Or a goblin. Can't get your money from a dead goblin.
Okay, but if he wouldn't pay, wouldn't it make sense to kill him to make some sort of, like... message or whatever?
A message to say, if you don't pay, I kill you?
Yeah.
Yes, that's generally what you do.
I think that Bookie's clients typically owe him anywhere from 100 to 500 gold pieces area.
And, ooh.
Yeah, so 400,000 is kind of...
He's going to want that money back.
It's in a class of its own.
Why would he kill him? He wants that money back.
Yeah, so, I mean, he started to pay it off because it's 399,990.
But does he also feel it was realistic that he was going to get 14-year-old Phil to pay him back this much money? If we're going to be realistic about this whole thing. How much pocket money would that take?
Well, I have a good authority. Phil, can you attest?
Yep, so I flip back around again.
You start the paper route, right? Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm delivering the papers on the Sundays.
All right, I turn back around. How is Phil going to make...
Oh.
Okay. So, how much money do you get paid, Phil? And now I'm really confused because I can't flip around because I'm actually talking to Phil.
You're just going in a circle.
They give me about 2 gold pieces a month.
Oh.
Phil, what were you thinking?
Well, I mean, I was thinking it would be 200.
What did you bet this money on?
Well, my mom's sick, see? And I thought I could get money to help her.
What, an over-under on when she was going to die? I mean, how is this working?
What did you bet on, Phil?
Tell us.
You can tell us the sob part of the story later. What more?
We won't judge you.
You ever heard of a 100,000, a one-shot?
You're really talking around whatever.
Yes.
I took a 100,000 to one shot. I made a bet with Bookerson. What you want to look for is you want to look for the horse that's going to come in, right? I mean, metaphorically, we don't have horses here.
Okay.
But
it's good that you know about
them.
I made a bet
that was not a sure thing, but if it would have.
What was this bet?
Well, at 100,000 to one, I would say probably not a sure thing.
Yes.
I bet that your mom would live, maybe.
Almost the definition of not a sure thing.
Right. So I made the 100,000 to one shot. I bet 4 gold pieces.
Okay.
I said, a dragon will fall in a bar. And then it came in. 400,000 gold pieces.
That's what you won?
That's what I won.
So how do you owe him, Booky Bookerson?
Well, I put it all on black at a roulette table. And it's okay. I lost it. It's not, but easy come, easy go, right?
Okay.
But then Bookie gave me a marker to let me roll it again. Roll the roulette ball.
So you lost 400,000 gold pieces on a roulette.
On a 50-50.
I said red the second time, but then it was black.
Oh, Phil, you're just dumb. Dumb.
Well, my mom always says that, yes.
Stupid is a stupid does.
You are
yeah.
dumb.
Yeah,
you so, dumb, Jeff, yeah. Do you know his mom?
You mean Marty?
Is that her name?
Marty Filson.
Okay.
Well, of course it is.
Marnie. Mom Marnie. Now, would his mom kill him?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay.
All right, so maybe we're barking up the wrong Bookie Bookerson right now.
I just think that if Bookie wants his money, I mean, he's got a dead goblin.
I'm getting dizzy turning around right here. Can someone please ask Phil where he lives?
Well, yeah, one more thing. Does Phil have any enemies other than his mom and his Bookie?
No, not really.
Now talking to you, Phil!
I love that you're looking away like you're talking to the real guy. What was the question?
To Jeff.
Does he have any other enemies?
Yeah, does he have any other enemies?
No one I know of.
All right, let's go to Phil's.
Mom's.
Yeah.
All right, someone ask Phil where he lives.
Lead on, McDuff.
I don't think that's a really good idea going
Phil, to I swear to God!
You don't want to make Redfield angry.
Okay, it's 84 Orchard. 84 Orchard.
All right, so we need to figure out where that is, right?
Let's just go. We all know Neverwinter. We've been here. All
right.
Yeah, you're fine.
This is my city.
So we walk right up to this place, which I'm hoping is not right in the middle of the hole that the dragon caused.
Hello, listeners. This is Justin, your audio engineer and co-producer of the podcast. Coming at you pretty late at night tonight. This was the last thing I had to do to finish this up tonight, so I just wanted to get this out as soon as possible because it was already a little late. So I'll probably just make this quick. Don't forget to follow us on D&D Adventure on Twitter, and do what you can if you use iTunes or if you can get on there to leave us a review. Continuing to get more and more support, and it's always appreciated, and it's nice to know that people are finding out about the show. And as far as show news goes, I have the last bit of audio for this season from Brian, all dialogue edited down. So I'll be working on that as soon as possible. And I believe they've already recorded the first session of season 3 with Jackie running the game. So excited to hear that, and you know, see where that goes, and see where the future of the show goes. Happy 50th episode to all the listeners, and you know, all the people that work on the podcast. Before I leave you with the Henley Reed segment for this and the rest of the episode, just want to quickly thank Battle Bards and Tabletop Audio, as always, because they really helped me make this show more than I could. I could never do all that ambient tracks sounds on my own every week in and out. So, thanks. They do a lot of the heavy lifting for the show, and I always appreciate that. And just thanks again. 50 episodes. Cannot believe we've done this much work on this so far, with really no end in sight. So, here you go. Till next time.
Hello, it's Henley. I'm back in more ways than one. I just thought I'd give you a little bit of what some people have been saying about our earshow. Melancholy Meme says, I started listening to this a while ago, and I absolutely loved it. I'm absolutely hooked, if not put it down. Endley's sass gives me life. Thank you, Melancholy Meme. I'm here to please. Tessie BB says, I'm new to the D&D world. I've always been a fan of witches and witchcraft, etc. But my eyes have been opened to a whole new fantasy, new world, and I love it. And this podcast is great. Although I've never played, and not sure I ever will have the opportunity, stories are wonderful to listen to. BPS at iTunes says it's fun. As a new DM and player, I love listening. They have good chemistry and are very funny. Johan Bastiel says, it's a good D&D podcast. Easy to listen to, the group works well together, funny moments in every episode. We aim to please. Alright, that's it for me for now, but I'll give you some more reviews later. But I can only do it if you give us more. Now, will I be happy if they're 5 stars? Maybe. Maybe not. I'm hungry. I'm gonna go find some jerky. So 84 Orchard appears as you're walking there, and what do you guys do? You go to the front door?
We're just going to knock on the front door.
Yeah, we're going to knock around the front door.
And who's knocking? I'm going to knock.
You're going to knock? Yeah, I'm going to knock because I'm Phil. But also she can't see Phil because Phil's on my back, facing the other way.
She can see Phil's butt.
No, his face is on my back, facing that way. So when you're looking at me, you can't see Phil.
She's much bigger than Phil.
I'm much bigger than Phil.
Yeah, Phil's probably like, you know,
right, right, yeah.
Little guy.
Imagine Elijah Wood strapped on my back. Okay.
On Jackie's back.
Yeah. You'd never see him.
Yeah. Same thing.
Same deal. Legs and arms out like this. Yeah.
Hello. What do you want?
Hello. My name is Thrace. Could you open the door, please?
We don't take kindly to solicitors here. Could you please go away?
I'm not one.
Okay.
And that works somehow. the door opens and you see...
I look down and see a goblin.
You see the tallest goblin you've ever seen. She's about 5'7".
Okay, so I still tower over her.
Holy hell.
Oh, you do, but she is enormous for a goblin.
Huh. Hello, ma'am.
You said you weren't a solicitor, so what are you doing here?
I was wondering, when's the last time you saw your son, Phil?
Oh, must have been four or five days now.
Okay, did you worry about where he might have been?
No, not really, I don't like him much.
Oh, well, that's straight to the point.
So while this conversation is going on, I'm going to sneak around.
Perfect. Okay.
And try to sneak in a lower window.
Can you roll a deception check?
Well, I can move undetected as long as I'm behind a creature that's bigger than me.
Like me.
Like him and him.
Yeah.
Right, but you're going to be going past... Are you going around the house?
Around the house.
Yeah, around the house.
Oh, I thought you
were
trying
to sneak. No, not past them. No.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Around the house in a window.
So I'm just looking
at... I thought you were trying to sneak
No.
Okay.
So is there like a window or anything?
Well, we wouldn't see that until you were there. But as you go around the house, yeah.
Can Redfield cast the truth thing on her from behind?
Oh, I can do that.
So sneak up behind her and cast that.
I'm going to cast Zone of Truth. She has to make a charisma saving roll. It has to beat a 12. She doesn't get hit by it.
She does not get hit by the zone of truth. She is zone
she
of
knows,
lies.
However,
but she knows something happened because they can tell when it gets cast.
Oh.
So I just
right. Let's say so. Redfield had to get the hell out. I of
was
going to.
Yeah. It didn't work. Whoop, and I'm behind the house.
But she looks behind her and sees nothing.
Yeah.
Other than what looks to be dust moving.
And a weird smoky smell.
Yep.
All right, so I'm looking at the house. I want to see if there's like a window or something I can jump in.
Yeah, there's a window that is about midway.
Okay.
So kind of below it, you'd imagine that would be where the basement would be. Mm-hmm. And it's probably about at eye level for you where the window starts.
Okay, so I'm going to attempt to open it and slink in.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a window's open. I don't know.
Well, the window's closed, so you're just going to open the window?
Open the window, yeah.
Yeah.
As quietly as possible.
So you give it a shot, and it's locked.
Okay. So I'm going to try to pick the lock.
Okay. How would... Okay.
With the lock pick kit, which I have.
Okay. I was picturing how I would pick a lock on a window. No idea.
Yeah, but I'm a...
He does this shit.
Yeah, I'm a freaking spy. Come on.
And in the meantime, by the way, we're still...
No, you put me in the face-off machine.
In the meantime, we're still out front, but asking, like, just, you know, oh, so, did you get the door painted recently? This looks nice. Ooh.
I still don't understand why you were here.
So, what do you mean a roll for the lockpick?
Dex?
I would say probably, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 15.
That's successful.
Okay. I pick the lock and as quietly as possible. I'm very sneaky because I'm a halfling. Pushing the window up.
I'm picturing a version of it where it just squeak the entire time. And where like they have to cover for you.
Yeah.
But no, it smoothly goes up and you're able to get into the house.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the house. And I'm going. And now, tell me the layout of this floor.
It's very, very modest.
Okay.
Almost like a giant studio.
Okay. One big room?
Yeah, so she's in the front door. You've basically come in where the kitchen area is.
Okay.
And you can see Marnie talking to Thrace. Mm-hmm. There is a bathroom directly across from you, and just a living area with some couches and a fireplace.
Okay.
That's really all... There is.
And there's no stairs, no second floor.
No, okay. Just one floor.
So I'm going to roll an investigation check.
There's a downstairs.
Oh.
There's a downstairs. There's no second floor, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to roll an investigation check, but I'm going to go right downstairs.
Yep. There's only one door, and because you knew that when you were looking at the window that there was something else beneath it, that's the only place it could lead.
Okay. So I'm going to go to that door. And go downstairs.
Okay.
So do you need me to roll any sort of like stealth check or anything? Okay.
Deception.
Deception check, okay.
And we can see him doing this. So we're keeping up the conversation.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We're looking over her shoulder, like just seeing Redfield.
I don't understand why you are here. Please leave.
And Redfield's doing what Redfield does in that
12.
He's naturally sneaky, but he's making no effort to actually be sneaky. He's still just walking around smoking a cigarette.
So you're mostly successful. There's just one shitty floorboard that squeaks. and you hit it.
Okay.
As you're walking.
I apologize. I shouldn't have had those Brussels sprouts.
Honestly.
And Field just gives a big old thumbs up.
Yeah.
Smiles. And there's a glint on his teeth. Yeah.
Julian Manners.
As he heads towards the door.
Okay. I slink down into the door and I go down these stairs. And now I'm in the down the stairs at the bottom of them.
Okay.
What do I see?
You see bones. There are bones, bones, bones. Human, halfling, direwolf.
And obviously we are not seeing this.
But you're doing it silently?
Yeah.
Terrible radio.
Silent scream, yeah.
But yeah. Bones of every sort of creature you could imagine are in this basement. And that's it.
Just bones.
Just piled up.
Just some bones.
Piled up.
And that, is the basement, is it like a finished basement or is it like a...
No, it's more of like a crawl space.
Crawl space, so it's like...
There's
like,
no pool table in the corner.
Not big screen TV. You know, but is there like, is like dirt on the ground or is it like floorboards?
You can't see the ground.
All there is bones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ossuary.
All right, I'm gonna.
You got to the bones at the end of the stairs.
All right, so I'm just gonna roll an investigation check to see if there's anything I can see deeper, like any specific thing about the bones, anything with the bones are aligned, anything I can see in the bones,
anything relevant or helpful at all.
Yeah. Let me just make sure I have my modifier going on here. 20.
All right, so
show me what's in them bones.
So you're both very interested. And very terrified. Mm-hmm. As you look closer, you can see that there are little glints within the bones, like pockets, that are glowing. It might be gold. There may be gold.
In the bones.
There are no windows. There's no other door other than what you'd come in. But it looks like the bones start at the base of the stairs. And they kind of go up in an incline. So there are more further away from you than there are where your feet are.
Okay.
So this is really like the descent type of situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty nasty.
Oh, that's funny. I was thinking more of like, you know, smog.
Gold. That too. But yeah. There's that part in the descent where she's like climbing up the mountain of bones.
Yeah. I love that movie
much. It's a great movie. So glowing, probably gold.
Looks like gold.
With my 20 roll, should I assume it is gold?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right.
Okay.
So there's
but
gold.
But again, looking at it, you can't be sure.
I get it.
Yes.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. All right.
Gold in between all the bones, or literally in the bones?
Well,
where the pockets or a pouch would have been.
It looks like bones are covering gold.
Okay,
there are
so many
bones.
Right, okay, but it's glinting through those bones.
There are so many bones. So, I'm going to sneak back up the stairs. Okay? And I'm going to cast blindness / deafness on Marnie.
Which you just got.
Which I just got.
Nice.
She has to beat a 14. Just roll 14 or higher. To save.
Okay, here we go. You guys ready?
Yeah. Yes!
Ba-boom!
It's a 13.
She blind!
And deaf, right?
Yeah. Yes, and deaf.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, blind or deafened. So I'm just blinding
Oh,
her.
Okay.
Wait. What has happened? I can't.
Thrice!
I can't see.
Tackle her!
Wait, what?
At this point,
and she's turning around like a crazy person.
I grab her by the throat. I attempt to grab her by the throat and pull her up against a wall. Like push her into the house and up against the wall.
She's blind. You can just do it.
Okay, so that's what I do. I push her. I've got her by the throat. I've got her up against a wall.
And she's flailing about.
What's happening? What are you? What
Redfield,
are you doing?
What's
what are
going
you doing
on?
In my home?
Redfield, what's going on? Get up here.
Just look down the stairs really quick.
What Julian's gonna go over and tell me what he sees.
Yeah. Yes, I wonder.
Because I've still got Marnie up against the wall.
Dark. I can't see this glinting.
No, you can't see the glinting. No.
So I have to go all the way down and step into a pile of bones.
Which you don't know that they're there yet.
Julian, what's going on? What is it?
Right before he gets up and says, "I go, there are dozens of bones down there."
There's an entire city of dead people down here.
What's with all the bones, Marnie?
B- Bones, I have no idea what you're talking about. Why can't I see?
All right, this one, one of you two ask Phil
what's going on. How long does blindness
just a minute
last for?
Okay. Just a minute. So
one of you two ask Phil, because she still doesn't even know that I've got Phil attached to my back, still alive.
Hey, Phil! What's with all the bones? Oh, I wasn't supposed to talk about that.
And right then is when Marnie regains her sight and sees Phil and goes, "You're not supposed to talk about that!" and slaps him right across the face, killing him.
Oh, man. So now I've got dead Phil strapped to my back?
Sure do.
Oh, so I've still got her up against the wall, though.
You do, but now she can see you.
Okay.
Now she can see you.
Marnie, what is going on?
By the way, I touch Phil and use Revivify, and he comes back to life right away.
Oh, poor Phil, just let him rest.
Keep your hands to yourself, Marnie.
Right, so now I'm backing up a bit, so I've got her full arm's reach, so she can't get to Phil. Phil is really confused. Right, Marnie, you could better start talking. What is going on around here?
I can't talk about it. No one will understand.
And Marnie starts to transform into a werewolf. And you can see, it's the perfect shot. She's changing, and she's right next to the window, and you can see that full moon.
Okay, but I still have her by the throat against the wind.
You do. She's changing in your hand.
Right, and I'm not letting go.
She's gaining strength, and as again a large 5'7" goblin woman, she's gonna be 6'6" as this werewolf.
Okay, at this point I'm going, guys, what do? Do I let him go or do I run? What do?
Keep holding him.
All right, so I'm still holding her, but I'm also going at her as she's changing. And Redfield, Julian, what do?
How long does it take her to change?
She's changed now.
Okay.
Yeah, so now I'm holding a big, snarling, angry werewolf against the wall.
You are.
You still need answers from somehow.
Need a strength check?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. 20 plus 4.
You're fine.
20 wins in a row.
Yes, yes, you're
so
fine.
So I'm holding this thing against the wall still.
And she's snarling and she's trying to get out, but her hand is so locked up against between her neck and the wall that she can't move.
And she can't talk as a werewolf, right?
No, she can't. But she's flailing about and she reaches out to scratch you, misses. And this Phil and kills
him. How did he hit Phil? He's on his back.
Well, he's peeking out.
Okay.
Phil's dead once more.
Phil!
Oh, poor Phil.
All right. We'll get back to Phil in a minute.
Okay.
I got 10 days.
Redfield, Julian, I think it's time you start stabbing.
And now we roll.
Yep. 7.
21.
17.
It goes Redfield, Thrace, Julian, me.
All right, so I'm going to cast Spiritual Weapon.
Talk to me.
You create a floating spectral weapon within range that lasts for the duration or until you cast the spell again. When you cast the spell, you can make a melee spell attack against a creature within 5 feet of the weapon. On a hit, the target takes force damage equal to 1d8 plus your spell casting ability modifier. As a bonus action on your turn, you can move the weapon up to 20 feet and repeat the attack against a creature within 5 feet of it. The weapon can take whatever form you choose. Clerics or deities who are associated with a particular weapon make the spells effective for something. At higher levels, when you cast a spell using a spell slot of 3rd level or higher, damage increases by 1d8 for every 2 slots above level 2. I'm going to cast it as level 6.
All right. Oh, okay.
So that means it's going to be, what, it's going to be 3d8s? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3d8s. And I'm going to make it a silver...
Yes.
Sword.
Okay.
The sword made of silver.
Uh-huh.
Spiritual silver is even better.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a spell attack, so it's going to be 3d8s, right? But first I got to see if I hit. So
yep.
It's going to be on my intelligence modifier, I believe. Just give me a second here. 18, 24.
That's a hit.
Okay, 3d8s. 7, 7, 4.
18. Well, your silver sword is certainly effective because the werewolf still being pinned by Thrace.
I feel kind of bad.
Like a butterfly in a collection.
Well, you lop off one of its arms.
That was quick.
And it is completely... it looks like the arm is starting to turn back to human form, like the stump. Mm-hmm. But the werewolf is screaming in pain. And it is now missing its right arm.
All right.
Sucks.
That's my turn.
So I'm going to use my breath weapon on it first, because I'm standing right in front of
her. Hold Jackie's on. Or Thrace's?
Yeah. Well, this is not an onion bagel, so we'll go with Thrace's. So, since we just leveled up.
Yeah.
You need to make a saving throw, dexterity saving throw, and you have to be 14.
Plus one is 16.
How on earth do I miss you? I'm standing right in front of your face. That is a terrible dice roll.
I think that I'm just too good. I don't think that.
So you just breathe fire right onto the wall?
Yeah.
But it's a 15 foot cone that somehow misses.
Just, well, I think maybe you just aim at the arm that's missing.
Yeah.
No, actually, slides under the armpit.
But I still do take down. You do still take damage though. You take 2d6 on a failed save and half as much on a successful one. Now because I'm level 11, I do 4d6 on a successful one, so you're still going to take 2d6 damage with it.
So roll the 4d6s and then half it, yeah.
Okay. 6. 1. 7. 8. 9.
Ha! 5. No, I'll take 5.
5. So you take 5 points of damage. But I get 2 actions.
Yes, you do.
God damn it, Jackie!
And...
I always forget that.
Yeah, since, you know... I tried to do something different. I'll just go right back to the Warhammer smash to the face.
Right. But one of her arms is already...
Yes. However,
busy.
I have my brace for badassness, which means I can wield the two-handed weapon with one hand. So I do not need to let go of the werewolf to smack it with the Warhammer.
It's true.
Technicalities. Bullshit.
So...
How about bullshit, Sam?
Just hold him, Thrace. Her.
So it's an 11 plus... 11 plus 5. 16. Do I hit?
It's a hit.
It is a hit. Awesome.
It is a hit.
So 1d8 plus 4.
She is not doing great.
5 plus 4 is 9.
Uh-huh.
So I smack with that.
This poor woman is just like pinned against the wall.
Yeah.
Missing an arm.
Smacked.
And now the most powerful of them all comes up to bat. Julian.
You got her, right? You're holding on to her?
I did. Yeah, I'm still holding on to her.
Okay, you're still fireproof?
I'm literally like, boom!
Oh, fireproof. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I'm fireproof.
Okay.
Right.
Burning hands. Dexterity saving throw.
All right, the werewolf will have disadvantage.
Okay.
Here is my first roll. A 7.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's see how bad I would have gotten.
A 3.
We'll take the 3.
Yeah, we'll keep the 3. Okay.
Yeah. So that is a failed save.
Okay, so you take... I'm casting this as a... I have an 11. We'll do 11. You take 3d6 damage plus 1d6 for each slot above 2. So that's 12 d6s.
Right, I'll write down.
6.
5.
4. 3. 2. 6. 4. 6. 2. 4. 1. 6. 6.
1 more. 4.
There
we go. Oh my god.
36. 48.
All right. So a little inside baseball.
I'm kind of happy that Phil's dead.
Yeah. Watching us murder his mother.
You know what you needed? 24.
She's doubly dead.
Yeah.
So the Burning Hands sounds too much like Burning Man. Is very effective and it ignites the werewolf, who becomes a flame while Thrace is holding her, and as she is fireproof, she does not let up, and she's burning, 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 and you can start to see the human, the goblin, Goblin-manity.
Goblin-manity?
Goblin-manity? Goblin-manity!
Oh, the goblin-manity.
Oh, the goblin-manity.
Bless you!
Come back as she's in terrible pain, all on fire, burning up.
Did you kill your son?
Wait a minute. Did you do it?
And she goes,
no, I did it all for him. For him.
And she's reduced to a pile of dust.
Brush my hands off.
Yeah. Sorry about that. You didn't singe you at all, did you?
No, I'm good.
Remember that time you convinced me for the werewolves to go last? Yeah.
She said she did it all for him? All these dead bodies?
Probably to pay off his debt.
Oh.
All right. Hold on a second. Touch Phil.
Does it work?
It's gotta work. That's the reason it wouldn't work.
Oh my god.
Nothing extra has happened to him. He just got smacked.
Oh, wait. No, because he's burnt to a fucking crisp.
Oh, yeah.
Because Bob just.
I'm fireproof. Fireproof. Yeah.
Phil's body isn't fireproof.
Exactly.
Can you bring him back?
He is also a pile of ashes, which I'm now brushing off my back. Phil's dead. Phil's actually dead. And you can't bring him back because he doesn't have any body parts
left. There's no body parts. Yeah. I have no spell that can bring somebody back who doesn't have any body parts.
You can mix the ashes together.
All right. So she said she did it. We need to find Bookie McBookerson or whatever the hell his name was.
I think it's a dead end. I think the bones are probably the thing that we're most focused on right now.
Well, let's go down and look. I didn't even see them yet,
guys.
You
didn't see them bones.
Yeah, so Thrace walks over to the basement and clunks her way down there and sees the sea of death.
Well, I'm going to start, like, rooting through them and, like, picking up a few and taking a closer look at stuff.
All right.
What do you need me to do?
Pick up a skull.
All right, so I'm just going to pick up the closest bones to me, like a skull and a femur. Let's go with that.
Okay.
Big old chunky one.
Boom, boom. Exactly. Them together.
I go down there too, and I start picking up the gold, yep. Looking for the gold pieces.
And basically, as you pick up stuff, it is covering a sea of gold.
Ooh, guys. Just as well Hendley's not here. I'd be creaming his pants right now.
But yeah, you pick up a wolf's skull.
Okay.
And a femur. It looks to be predominantly goblin skulls down there. Again, there are some human, there are some elf, there's some
But Redfield rolled a 20, so there's really nothing else to see down here that we can't already
correct,
see, right?
Correct. Okay. But again, he didn't pick anything up really. So
I'm picking up some skulls.
Yeah, we're tossing the skulls out of the way so we can look at how much gold is down there.
Look at all this gold.
And it was basically like a 20 by 20 room. The gold lines the entire thing probably about an inch off the ground. So if you had...
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to work out the square footage of that?
I'm about to.
So I'm going to roll investigation check.
It equals a shitload of gold.
To see if there's anything else in the gold.
Yeah.
Well, you figured out the square footage of the room. The most important part.
Yeah, cubic feet. Cubic feet.
Yeah. Well, you guys are going to take the gold. You're going to have it.
Yes. 16. Well, I want to know, are there any markings on it? Is it just pieces of gold? Is there names stamped on it? Yeah. Is there dates? Is there anything?
They are plain gold pieces.
Regular old Neverwinter currency, plain old. Okay.
And if I roll a 16, right? If I dig through the gold to the floor, is there anything else in there other than the gold pieces?
It's actually just coal underneath the gold. It's a very, very thin layer of gold.
So it's bones?
Bones,
gold,
then gold,
then
coal.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, where's the magma? Surely that's
Is
next.
The coal the bottom layer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Almost how you would like at a drug deal that you're trying to screw someone. Put one
coffee.
They put one layer of
so there's not right.
The rest
right.
Are ones.
So we're supposed to. So we should.
We all have.
But we should assume that there's not as much gold as we initially thought there was.
Correct.
Okay.
So I put my bag of holding down and open it up.
Yep.
Say like, let's just get the gold.
Get as much in there as we can. Okay. How many gold pieces?
Not leaving it for whoever.
Well, your bag of holding is like a TARDIS, right?
Yeah, exactly. So of our bone man,
exactly.
The gold.
It works out to about 18. It's not as much as you thought it could be. 1,800 gold pieces.
Now, technically, well, but
the whole
also,
basement?
How thick are these gold pieces?
But also,
an inch thick.
The math was 164 million. I'm rounding down.
So
I think
round.
It should be 164 million. You want to lay the rolls out.
But also, technically speaking, it's being split three ways. However, it's all going into Redfield's bag of holding. So should Redfield put that on his paper?
Wink.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know,
yeah.
Because you know what Redfield is like. So should Bobby put down on his paper all of it? Because he's technically holding it all, right?
Yes, he should.
Because he could be solo at some part of the adventure.
Exactly.
I'll give it out how I see fit.
Yeah, or lose the bag and we all lose it, you know. All right, so we have all of that in Redfield's bag of holding.
Okay.
So, guys, let's go shopping.
Let's get out of here.
And you guys are all in the basement.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you can hear above you the door fling open.
Uh-oh.
And
hide in the bones!
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I think. We're all just going to jump in a pile of bones each. I'm going to put like a skull on top of my skull.
Yeah, I got a big skull.
Yeah.
A bigger skull comes in my head. So
okay.
We're just going to hide there and listen for what we can listen right now.
And you hear the door open and big footsteps and something being dragged. Just kind of like scraping against the wood of the floor. And the door to the basement opens and a large figure... throws a skeleton down into the bones, right under Redfield.
And just a skeleton? It's already been stripped of
everything?
Already
been stripped of everything. And this figure, which is just kind of a silhouette, a shadowy thing, you can't really make out if it's man, goblin, wolf, whatever, you just hear say, Ma?